pass me, O blessed rock of ages. Still thy blessed face I see. When the storms around me rage, rock of ages, hide thou me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed Heavenly Father, we bless the Holy Name again, Lord, this morning. We glorify Thee, Father, and thank You, Lord, for all the blessing You have given us, and all the benefits, O Lord, and all the treasure of Thy Word. We can never ever thank You enough. And even to count the blessing, Lord, You will take years just to come of the little things You've done for us, the big things You've done for us, the blessing You've given us, Lord. Oh, blessed rock of ages, Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence and Your love for every one of us. Thou art our Lord and our Savior. And we thank You, Lord, that You came to be a friend to every one of us, not just a brother, but a friend, someone we can confide in our needs and our problems, and we come through to You, Lord, that all whatever we need can be presented to our Heavenly Father. Only in Thy name, Lord, will our prayer, O Lord, be answered and be looked upon, and casting all our cares upon You, truly, Lord, that wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ works wonder for us, because that is the promise that You have said, whatever You ask in My name, You will receive it. And let our faith therefore be strong, O Lord, even as the disciples said, increase thou our faith. But Lord, You said that even if we have just a little grain of mustard seed of faith, it will do wonders. And so Lord, as we grow in that little faith all this year, we believe, Lord, it should have gone and grow into something big now, that we can look to You for what is coming ahead, the promise and the blessed hope, and the resurrection of the saints and the catching away of the bride. So we thank You, Father, for today, and we ask that, Lord, You just bring to our remembrance once again, Lord, the things that we have learned. So we commit to You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You are me. Now, this message is a message which I preached back in 1981. It's just a very simple message I want to lay this as a foundation, because in 1981, when I preached this message, that's just by an hour or so, and then about 15-something years later, something happened over in Philippines that someone brought to my attention about some of the strange things that were going on regarding the book of Romans. And we're going to lay this foundation here, and then next week we will touch upon some of the things and the misunderstanding of the word, I think what Paul said, what Paul taught. And it's a common a misinterpretation by some of the early church fathers. And, you know, because when the internet came in and people start to, that's about 17 years, that should be what, 2000? Yeah, around 2000, when the internet was already available and people looked into the internet, and perhaps that's where they get some of the information, and they got the wrong interpretation by some of the early church father, and they themselves, called the early church father, they also realized they were wrong later on and they corrected. But today the message, of course, is crucified with Christ. And basically it's about this ourselves now. You know, in the last whole of this year, I would say, we have dealt with a lot on the treasure of God, and as far as also our personal relation with Christ Jesus. And I don't know, there are so many subjects, so many points that you can see in the Bible, Peter, Paul especially, and especially when Paul's epistle being there, there are 14 of them. Whatever you read, he always talk about this old man and about the new man, you know, and especially about our stand with the Word of God, with the truth, and things like that. And it's so much repetitions of the thing that Paul have taught in one epistle and then to another. And I guess he had to, because one epistle they sent to Galatia, another to those in Rome, another over to Thessalonica, another to Corinth. And so, of course, he will repeat and say certain things to this group of believers there. And later on, as the epistle were read in one church, they will send this epistle to another city. So this epistle is all kind of floating around through Asia Minor. So people become more acquainted and more having a better revelation of what Paul taught. So today we're going to lay just the foundations. It's all so simple that every one of you know about it. And I said this by Charles Spurgeon, and I believe that he said it's true. And you know, we know what we have learned, but then we tend to forget. All right. So it's good that we need to repeat, and it is true that we need to go over and over again, or else you'll forget. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 6. Now when you turn to the book of Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 3 to 11, you say, oh, I've read this chapter already, of course. Every one of us should at least have read the Bible once. At least. Okay. You know, a brother from Brother Livon sent me a video clip about a certain minister, don't mention the name, and he made this video with just only this month regarding the prophecy of Brother Branham, and the seven visions of Brother Branham, especially the one that Brother Branham talks about, the woman that rise up in America, and he brought all that Brother Branham said, and all that Brother Branham was a true prophet, this and that and everything, you know, and said, would this prophecy come to pass? Will Kamala Harris become the president, and so on and so forth? And of course, this preacher, said that he had studied the Bible 175,000 hours or something like that. So he said that he read that, studied the Bible 1,700 something hours. So that's a lot of hours to study. Anyway, I guess it's kind of bragging that I've studied that. You know, well, that's about, if you take and count the hours, it's about 19 years of his life, you know, studying the Bible. Okay, that's good. I have Dix, Flaming Dix. I've been the one who annotated a Bible and produced it and called it Dix Annotated Bible. He said, I believe, he has studied the Bible 100,000 hours. That's good. No matter how many hours you study, and if you don't come to the revelation of the Godhead, then something is really wrong. And if you don't come to the revelation of being baptized in the name of Jesus, because something is really wrong. You know, Jesus told the woman, well, you worship, you know not what. You're talking about the place, you're talking about what you have, because it's all tradition. And as Jesus told the very religious people, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition. And that is true, the word of God have no more effect on you because you are in tradition. Like it or not. You know, so it's so important that we have this revelation. And last week the message is, who am I, who I am? So today this basic message, crucified with Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 onwards. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him for baptism, by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, just these two verses, I want to point out important words. I don't know, as I said many times, the Bible, study it, use a pen, underline words, write some notes on the side of your margin. Okay? And so you remember. That's how the Bible is to be studied. Now, my Bible is very old now, and as I said, it has been repaired twice already, and they have cut off to sort of rebind all things. And my notes in the center of it where the folds are, I couldn't see it anymore because it has cut off to make it, to make the Bible, to rebind the Bible. And so the side of my Bible also, they have trimmed off, and some part of my notes are missing. But I still remember something wrong there anyway. So that's how we study. All right. So know you not, and Paul wrote this to the book to the Romans, and the book of Romans is actually a very important book where he talks about basic salvation, you know, about what Christ did for us and you and your relationship with Christ. This is basically a book about salvation, all about crucifixion, about who the Lord Jesus Christ is to those who believe. All right, so Paul emphasized, know you not that so many of us has were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, and therefore we are buried with him. And the importance of water baptism, as we know, you confess, you repent, you go into water baptism, you mean to say you are dying, you are being buried with him. And so you are buried with him. You're not just going to water baptism and say, oh, I died to sin. You are actually buried with him. Christ died, taking your sin and my sin to the cross of Calvary and crucified. So all those laws and all those, you know, he took care of the original sin when he died upon the cross. So if we say that we repent, we are truly repent, we, you know, went down into the water and we are buried with him. We are buried with him. We are dying to sin. And all the sins should be with Christ Jesus. And that's why we are buried with him by baptism into death. We die. And that's this message. In fact, originally this message entitled, the old man must die. We are crucified. But many times the old man, well, he started to come up ever so often. You know. So Paul is reminding these Romans and many other places of his epistle. He reminded them. Okay, look at it. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, by the work of the Lord, by the glory, the power of God, the program of God, how God the Father had already ordained before the foundation of the world. And this thing we must remember. Though when we read the scripture like this, as if that, you know, everything goes on, you know, like, well, you have a story to tell, you tell a story, but you do not know the beginning of the plan of what the author is writing about until you read the end. Until you reach the end. But the fact is that we know the end from the beginning. God has already known the end from the very beginning. And he has shown us in other places of scripture. So even though we read this, we need to remember that everything was done by the glory of God. Everything was planned by God. You won't be here. And that's why I said many times, who am I? No. But who I am, yes. And whatever happened, I always remind myself who I am. So the situation, yeah, I'm not very happy yesterday when I got the news that, you know, come Wednesday onwards, I cannot eat out. I said, what? You know, it's
It's bad news.
You know. And, you know, Sister Tracy was say, what it means? I cannot go to the mall and buy vegetables and this and that. You know, she's looking always at what, why can I get the vegetable? Why can I get my grocery, you know? And if everything is going to cramp down, you cannot buy anything or else it sounds like the mark of the beast you're going to buy. And the people cannot sell. And so it seems like that's why it comes. Some people in our country, I think in Philippines, that's why some groups say, yeah, that's the mark of the beast. And I said, this is ridiculous. You know, but this is a control and measurement. So what can we do? Yeah, I am a bit upset, but I remember I was thinking, okay, because it has been that when the control were there, out there, the people have, can only, those who are not vaccinated cannot eat in the mall or in the aircon place or restaurant, but they can eat in the food court and that is open, things like that. And I see all folks sitting there and must sit there and eat, and they were all talking about this situation. And I believe they were just not happy to. And I believe with this crammed up properly, as I said, they're cussing away and all that thing. You know. But I just remember myself, I am who I am. You know. And this is the war that belongs to the devil. And we're just passing through. So let it be. Alright? So, we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even as we also should walk in the newness of life. That we walk in the newness of life. Because God has already by His glory planned this for you and for me. They walk in the newness of life. Not go around grumbling and cursing and say, what, this and that, and get upset and walk all up. Yeah. I am who I am. What can I do? I can do a lot and just walk in that life that God has given us. In every situation, up on the mountain, down in the valley, and especially in this time, there's a lot of valley to walk through. Huh? It's like a valley of death, you know, you cannot go up there and eat. So we walk through, right? We walk in the newest life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, do we die like Christ died? Yeah, together because He died like this, putting everything, all the sins upon Himself and hang upon the cross. So let us die with Him. I die with Him as it should be. Identify myself with His death. Brought together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. So we will rise. Yeah, that's what I'm happy about. Because after all, you know, sister in America, when I send this vegetable to her, I said, what? This is happening over there? You know, and then she talks about something. I said, oh, I wish that, you know, I'm talking about the, you know, the flight, the you know, from one country to another. And she was just making a joke, said, well, maybe it's better to take the COVID away. You know, I said, you're serious, taking the COVID away? I said, yeah, I'm kind of jealous of those, for those who have gone there already, you know, go through this airway and it's already in the other side. Yeah. Isn't it? When the pressure of the world comes like this, people feel like dying. That's why, you know, because of this, people have mental health problems. Huh? Yeah, people are stressed out. People have a mental health problem. Yeah, there is a brother I know. I don't mention the name. He was telling me that his brother is in depression. Oh. You know, that's the situation. Bad. But we pray the Lord, let us all continue to remember one another. Lift one another up in prayer. We are in this situation. It's not nice. Here we don't feel so much, but many countries, many, many countries, people are really depressed. So if a brother suffers, yourself to them. If one rejoices, let us rejoice. Amen. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, the hands for we should not serve sin. The old man must die. Yeah, I, you know, growing up, giving my life to the Lord at a young age and experienced so many trials. But I look back in my journey, I see how the Lord has kept me. Yeah, we fail many times, but the Lord extends His arm to lift me up. Yes. And as long as I remember as long as I realized my mistakes and I've committed some sin, you know, I get right with the Lord, and as the Lord draw me and make me to understand, and I grow. And I believe the young brothers out there and sisters out there, how you never, no matter how young you are in the faith, you should be able to learn as the Lord walks with you, as with the song that we sang earlier, our treasure, my treasure. We walk with God. God walks with us in His Word. And as we are with Him, He surely hold our hand, walk with Him. And everything will be okay. Alright? Knowing this, therefore, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Because after all, if you are dead, you can't do anything. You can't move. Now, if we be dead with Christ, that's one of the things in way that perhaps many times we overlook and do not realize this. We are dead with Christ. We're buried with Him. Alright, we are dead with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with Him. We die with Him. We rise with Him. That's right. If we are born again of God, in the Word of God, we walk in the Word, and the Word is Christ. He walks with us. Huh? Knowing the Christ, being raised from the dead, die no more. One of these that we will resurrect. In the sins and sleeping in the grave will also rise. And we will die no more. That's a blessed promise. Is that right? Hallelujah. And to die no more, death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died, verse 10, he died unto sin once. But in that he lived unto God. Christ died unto sin once. He took the sin, everyone, and that's finished. And after that, he lived unto God. And Paul is trying to tell us the same thing. Hey, if we are dead with Christ, alright, we die once for all. You know, then we live unto God. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 12, 13 and 14. Colossians 2, 12, 13 and 14. Buried with him in baptism, again, see, but Paul, the apostle, wrote this to those in Colossians. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation. The power of God, the faith of the operation of God. Paul mentioned it here, he mentioned it in Romans. Through the faith of the operation of God. Yeah. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God. God give you this faith, this operation. It's the power of God. You know, the power of God is that He foreordained before the foundation of the world, He chose And I said this one thing, he didn't choose a person to go to heaven, and he did not choose a person to go to hell, no. He chose those whom he wanted to choose. That is God's will. He chose and he predestined a person unto sonship, to the image of his son. That's the purpose. That's why we need to walk before him. Alright, through the faith and operation of who have raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and threw it out away, nailing to his cross. Now verse 13, the circumcision of your flesh. Yeah, but we came into this world. That's what Romans 3, verse 23 say. You all know Romans 3, 23? For the wages of sin is death. And so because, well, you know, we were injected with this poison of the serpent. We were born into this world with that poison. So we came to this world as sinners because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Alright, we are born with this serpentine nature, and these are permitted of God because it's God's plan. He already seen what's coming even before the foundation of the world, and he permitted it to work out a purpose for the operation of his, of the faith of the operation of God and the power of him. Of his own power. Alright, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. These are just scriptures to bring remembrance about our state of crucifixion with Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. Alright, here is where we see this. About grace and faith God has given to us. Now, Ephesians church, as I said, this is God's, it's Paul's home base. And this is a church of people that really are so, that really were so blessed by the Lord, because Paul ministered to them, in his fullness, or to say, in all his understanding, imparted to them. Because these people are very open to the Word of God. Alright. And you, chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. And you, have you quickened again? Have you quickened again? What we know, Paul talks about one place and another, same word here and there. And you have you quickened who were dead in trespasses and you were uncircumcised in the flesh? Huh? You know, discuss circumcision. We were uncircumcised in a way. It doesn't mean that we are Gentiles because we're not circumcised. Paul doesn't mean that because we're not circumcised. It is the carnal. We are not circumcised. Now, every one of us are born again. Are you circumcised? Are you circumcised? You are circumcised. We are circumcised. Huh? Even though that you are a female, you are also circumcised. But we are not circumcised in the flesh, but we are circumcised in the heart. Because as I always said, this God works from within. God don't work from the outside. The Jews circumcised in the flesh by the law that God gave them. Because they, become a separate people is a token of God, is a sign. That there are people separated unto God. But we are circumcised in the heart. So we are, what? Separate from the world. Unto God. That the children of Israel, they were nations separate from all the people of the world as a nation unto God. So we are the holy nation. We are circumcised in the heart. God works from within. Now, if we are circumcised in the heart, the flesh on the outside must also be a sign that of circumcision. Yes, I'm circumcised in the heart. I walk no longer in the flesh. And the children of Israel, yeah, they were circumcised in the flesh, but they are still so religious. And they did not understand and didn't see the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, well, in time past you walk according to the course of this world. Yeah, in time past. I don't know how many of you, I became a child of God at the age of near 12. Huh? But I don't know about you. Some of you may be walking in the Lord in the age of 20, 30, and so on. And some of you are raised up in the family who are Christian, but you probably only realize that you need Christ at a certain age, and there you begin. But you learn up growing up in a Christian family and understanding of the word. So all this, you know, when in time pass, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the disobedience. Yeah, so what we have here, look. With this situation of the pandemic and the governments around the world imposing certain rules and measurements, here we have certain measurements. Now, there are people out there who are not Christian, they are, you know, not happy, and you read in the paper the report a couple of days ago, was it yesterday or days ago, how there are still restaurants and even food court and beverage establishment that broke the rules, right? Huh? No measure, no discerning, and more than what was required or what was stipulated by the government, you know, and they all were caught and they had to pay the fine. Well, because they are upset, and so they break the rules. And as the Bible here said, that's the prince of the power of the world. This war belongs to the devil. Whatever he's doing it. And, well, you know, as the Bible clearly says it, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now work in the children of disobedience. So, am I who I am? Ask yourself a question. And if you have a restaurant, if any of you have a restaurant, would you break the rules so that you could make sure that you get customer coming into your restaurant? You see. Right, so this, and now you know also there are some that, make fake, vaccination certificate. Huh? They are desperate, they want to enjoy themselves, so they broke the law. And so what the spirit of the world is doing, and the spirit of this world is also working on the children of God, trying to get them to behave like them. But if we are children of the living God, we will not succumb to those things. The thing that is contrary, the thing only that the children of disobedience will do. You see. Alright, so let us go. Among, verse 3, among whom also we are, we all have our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. Yeah, we do that. We did that when we were young, yeah. Fulfilling the desire of the flesh. Yes, I want to go into a restaurant and eat. But I'm not vaccinated, so I fake a certificate. Huh? And the desire of the flesh and of the mind and by nature and the children of wrath, even as others. Yes, I'm upset. My mind is working, you know. Yesterday when this thing came out, my mind is working. I said, why did the government do this thing? Why? What is all this measurement? It's affecting all those who are not vaccinated. And I want to go out there and eat in the food, court and food court and all that establishment where I can go. And I can't even go to the mall now. So I'm upset. So my mind started to work. And see, and that's what the garden is all about here. You know, this up here, this mind, the little, what we call, tofu, okay? Being cut is up here. That is convoluted up there. And that's when the devil goes in there and tries to sow seed and try to stir up your mind. Alright. Continue with that.
Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us. Again, this word, quicken. And so when we are born again, it's because the Spirit of God quickened our spirit. The soul that is dead, not knowing God, He quickened and make it alive. When you are born again, I want to make this here, this important fact, so that when we continue next week, that old man issue, I want you to know. When you are born again, your physical body do not change. What is changed is your spirit. The spirit, your soul is changed. And that, then God from that work from inside out, you know, it's just like a seed. It's a seed. What is a seed? What is a seed? It's a body. It's a body of flesh. A seed is a body of flesh that has something inside that is really the life, that if it is properly quickened, it will spring for life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? These are types and illustrations. If you cannot see them, I'm so sorry. Then you do not know anything about farming. Everyone knows what a seed is. But of course, my grandson Adam should know what a seed is now. But if your person, a child is young, you know, you give a seed, you know, he looked at it, he wouldn't know. But you want to teach him something, tell him to take the seed, bury it in the pot of soil, water it, and see what happens. And then when he grew up, you know, the child is going, wow, this is what happened. You see, the outside, the seed is not true life. It's just a covering for something that is true life inside. But the true life cannot come forth until it has what? Three things. But the first two things is very important. The water and the what? And the air. And when you take water in, there's oxygen, of course. And there is air around the area. So when it got the water, it starts forth. And then it springs forth. Then when it grows up, it got the sunshine. And it starts to grow. And that's why we need the sunshine. Sunshine, sunshine. What is the sun is? that's the sun, children. Sunshine, sunshine. You know about sun. S-O-N, not S-U-N. You know, we need the sun light of God. S-O-N, light of God. We need the sunshine. Obviously, the spirit of the word, which is the air. Right. And then we need the water of the word. The three things that we need. So that's how you spring forth life. Okay, let's go on now. That's quicker than that. That's verse 6. We enter that. Okay. When we were then in sin, have He quickened us together, because by grace you are saved. And have raised us up together and make us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the power of God. The favor of the operation of God. Without faith, you cannot be born again. Right? And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there. Here we talk about the seed of God. And we know that what Ephesians chapter 1 says, that we are being ordained by God, the Father. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. This Ephesians book is fantastic. I think the two books that we all should read when concerning the epistle. Read Romans concerning salvation. And then read Ephesians concerning how the God have already predestinated you and me. Oh my, take a look at that. And you see, we didn't choose God. Sometimes you want to go and say, oh man, sometimes I think about the way that the denomination operate and go about their programs. I remember back then when I was in the 60s. and all this program that they have. I found it. I still remember. People wear this button. Now, I mean, the Christian, you know, those who are part of the campaign, crusade, they wear this button and try to witness people, and the button says, I found it. People look at it. I mean, if you have a button of today, for example, you know, in America, Donald Trump's, they vote for Donald Trump or Biden, you know, they have this button there. And in Africa, the Branhamites, oh my, they have the button of Brother Branham. You understand what I'm telling you, see? People identify with something. So they put this button on, they wear this, and I found it. And people were looking at it, you wear the button, well, what is that? What the button is, what is that? I found it. Well, you found what? I found Christ. I found salvation. You know, that's how the program is. But you know one thing, the buttons will say, he found me. So maybe he found me. Right. Well, you use the word found as a fountain, as a foundation. God found me before the foundation of the world. And when I was born, he found me, pulled me to him. You see, and this is what Paul from tells us. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, remind you in this verse 3. See what Paul said, alright? And see what Paul's revelation about God. Blessed be the Father, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, first as simple is, did Jesus have a father? So if he has a father, he cannot be his own father. And that's why we have problems with some who taught the Godhead that Jesus is his own father. Okay? Alright, it cannot be. So, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's fantastic. All, not some. So, just imagine, God give his all in Christ Jesus to you and me. What a winner. And yet, we are still walking around with this old man and us. God, we are crucified with Christ. All spiritual blessings in heaven, please, according as he have chosen. Now, I want you to look at this word carefully, because some of the word that was translated in the King James is not the right word that they use many times, okay? He have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is to say, before him, I remember telling you, the word before him is in his immediate presence. Okay, let me just read it. According as he has chosen us in his immediate presence before the foundation of the world. So that's to say that when God looked into the future, before anything was created, we were before him, in his presence. Wow, now just imagine that. I mean, so we were always in his mind. Huh? We were not there as a physical being, a real, literal being there, but he saw us like a vision or whatever, you know. He just saw us before we were even born. Before the foundation of the world was laid. Wow. You know, Paul's revelation is just to make us understand that everything that God had done by his operation, by the glory that he have, and the faith that God had, you know, the revelation that he himself looked into the future and saw things. And everything about our Father in heaven, about Yahweh, you know, the sum of our being, the known things. And he has chosen you and me. And how can we then, who are being crucified with Christ, walk otherwise? If we don't walk in the Word of God and according to Christ, you know, in his resurrection, then something is wrong with us in our faith. Alright, so according as you have chosen us in before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame, before Him in His love. Also in His mere presence, this is what He's trying to say. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. The adoption of children means come to the stage of maturity and really become His child. Okay? That's why He predestined us. Through the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 10. Alright? Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time He may gather together in one all things in Christ, both as are in heaven and are on earth, even that is in Him. So you see, we said that Abraham is our faith, the father of our faith. That is to say that we as a seed, every one of us is in the seed of our father, going back all the way to Abraham, in the loin. So, as what Paul is saying here, we are part of the Logos because the Father sees all this. And we know that Paul said in another place that the whole universe, heaven and earth, were created through Jesus Christ. And because of what God has foreseen before the foundation of world, everything that is in this Logos, the revelation of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's what God saw. Everything that is in that. Colossians 1. Alright, so now let me say, since if we are in God, if we are in the Logos, we can never be lost. That's why we believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved, can never be lost. Whatever, as Jesus said, whoever the Father has given to me, no man took it out of my hand. There's no way that anybody can take it and remove it. Not even the devil. Amen. And the only way that you can be lost and all that is to live. And that's when you get the unpardonable sin. Having taste of the heavenly things, and then you spurn it. You walk away from it. There's no more repentance for sin. And that's exactly what Judas did. He had tasted everything. He saw the thing that Jesus performed. That's not why I tell people, you visit and look at the YouTube channel. And you know, today we have this Pentecostal and charismatic preacher, they wanted to draw people to them. To their program, to their church. So they have their channel where they talk about supernatural things. They invite people who have visions and dreams to talk about it. And people say, wow! And then you read all the command, praise the Lord, and our Lord is powerful. You know, people are so taken up by supernatural things that they don't even know the truth. What do you think God sent the prophet Abraham for? To demonstrate God's power and miracles? And so they said, wow, 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 praise the Lord, wow, 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 our God is great, wow, 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 hallelujah. Is that what it is? You see, all these, as God told the prophet, he said, the first sign, the three pools. Remember, the first pool that Abraham had, what was it? Or did he go and take a look at Moses in the Bible? Huh? What was it? God told Moses, put your hand in and draw it out. What happened? It turned leprous. Put it back again, take it out, it's normal. Throw that rod of yours and see what happened.
He turned to snakes.
Right. You see, the thing is this, is that while without the miracles, they were there, and you look at these the pharaohs, oh, we have magicians that can do that. And so, the devil is always around. There is always copycat. Surely. So, what is miracle? So, Lord, it's a supernatural. People can perform that. And on the YouTube, people can see all those magicians that perform tricks, illusion. It's so fantastic. You wonder how it can be. It looks like it is something very supernatural. And people enjoy that. But you see one thing about it. God did not do miracle just to satisfy your curiosity. Just to satisfy you that there is a big God up there. He did that to call your attention. And that's why before Brother Branham came, yep, we have people with gifts and this and that, but never has great a miracle being performed, and never a gift like what Brother Branham had. And has, I can't remember who is the historian or theologian, he said this, if you take a weighing scale, you put Brother Branham on one side of the scale, and put, I think he says, 7 of all the best, I mean, evangelistic minister of God who have done great miracles and all this, put it on the other side. It can't even tip the scale. Now, that means to say that truly, as the Bible said, in the book of Luke 17:30, I believe. Now, let's just go there. I believe it's Luke 17:30 or 30. Yeah, 17:30. Luke 17:30. Yes, that's right. Even time shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, the messianic sign, I just told the disciple, you know, one of these days you will no longer see me. And they didn't see him anymore. But he says that before he comes back, the sign of the Son of Man will come back. And that sign came back, the Son of Man sign. Or they used to say, the Son of Man, we know who the Son of Man is. It's Christ Himself. You know. And that sign was given to a man of God. As all probably are also called sons of man. And it was manifest in Brother Branham. So probably there are 3 signs. The first sign is to hold the hand, and he could see the disease of the person by looking at his own hand. But after that, the sign is not used. And he used the second sign, which is the sign of the Messiah. Discerning the secrets of man's heart. People are taken by it. Wow, wow, wow. But you see, that is just the pool. Pool. First sign. Pull you closer by the second sign. But what is the third sign? The spoken word. That's how Bob began to speak the word of truth. No, we don't want that. If you take the third sign, you see the spoken word being revealed to you. The spoken word revealing the word of God to you. Understanding. It draws you closer to the Lord. That's the purpose of it. But no. Everybody was taken up by it. You see on the YouTube channel, you have Sid Roy and this other person, this, all this, and all supernatural sign. But you know one thing, many times people send me those videos. I know when I look at a video, I turn it off. Because many times, the person who talk about the vision and whatever they saw, they go to heaven, go to hell, you know, saw Jesus, this and that, many times a lot of them are exaggerated. Yes, I believe in vision, I believe in signs, I believe in this. But many times there are a lot of people that exaggerated what they have. But well, they want to have the fame anyway. But let me say this one thing.
signs and miracles are just that. If it doesn't draw you closer to the Lord, something is very wrong. Is that not right? Colossians 1, 14 to 22. Colossians 1, 14 to 22. In whom also, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, and in Him. Now, this word here, I tell you a lot of word in Him, in King James is not right, huh? Alright. Colossians 1. I want you to take a pen and change the word, because the word that they use in Greek, I mean from Greek, is not using the right word. Okay? For in Him, not by Him. Because we are in Him. Everything is in Christ. For in Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible, invisible, whether they be throne or dominion or principality or power, all things are created not by Him, but through Him. Now you see the words here in Greeks are different. Let's go to verse 16. For by Him should be in Him. The Greek word is earned, means to say a position. Hey, are we in Him? Are we in Christ? Or are we by Christ? It doesn't make sense, right? So in Christ is a position, okay? And all things created in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be throne or dominion or principality or power, all things were created through Him, not by Him. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus created heaven and earth. No, 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 no. It's the Father who created through Him, the Word. Through the Word. So that's a whole lot of difference. People say, oh, Jesus created heaven and earth. It's the Father. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was begun, and the Word was God. The Word came out, oh, the Father, and the Word, therefore, bring forth the heaven and earth. And it was the Father doing it through the Word. Alright, through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist, not by Him. In Him all things consist. For He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, and He pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And that is true. For in Him should all fullness dwell, where we get it? In Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. In Him. Alright, then go back to verse 20 of chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things through Him. I said, whether there be things in heaven or in earth, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblemished, and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So Christ came, God came to save us, save His own. He didn't come to save the devil. Remember what Jesus prayed when He was in the garden? Huh? He didn't say, I did not pray for the son of perdition. So when Christ died upon the cross, every drop that dropped down from Him onto the dust of the ground, it calls out the name of everyone whom God had foreordained. Alright, so that's a mercy seat. So every one of us will come forth by spoken word. So when you all come to the Lord, when you all come forth by spoken word, yeah, you heard the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Alright, so I'm going to go soon, and I want to say that Jesus was both bridegroom and bride. Kind of strange, huh? We're the bridegroom, we're the bride, right? Jesus is the bridegroom. But in Him, before He came, in the very beginning, that Word was actually
bridegroom and bride. That's a predestination of God. Because we saw that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, 24. Remember Adam and Eve. Let's go quickly and finish that off. In a few more passage of scriptures. Genesis 2, 21 to 24. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. I remember preaching this message, the deep sleep of Adam. What happened? Alright. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Now, deep sleep is not shallow sleep. Sleep means already dead, means dead. It's a sign, means a person is dead. Deep sleep. So this is the expression used. Deep sleep fall upon Adam. That means he knows nothing. He was in a deep sleep. And God took a rib, and he closed up the wound thereof, and the rib which the Lord had taken from man, make him a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and he shall be called woman, because he was taken out of man. Remember, this is our expression. One rib taken out of Adam doesn't mean that man has one rib less than the woman. And I believe, I still find it a little bit, kind of, when I think about it, I kind of, laugh a little. Because back then, when I went to the Philippines in the early 80s, one of the sisters came up to me and asked, but again, is it true that the man has one rib less than the woman? And I asked her, are you married? If you are, then go and count your husband rib and then count yours. But there are people that believe it is there. You know, and that's why I had a little talk about with my friend Paul, and that's why to understand, because he believed it to be true, and then God set it up, and the rib grows back. And that's why I make fun of it and said that how many ribs we have? Floating ribs? We have four floating ribs, right? Remember the four floating ribs? Yeah, God took one and break it out. Oh, and I found it too long because God is saying, I don't want to make Eve a little too tall. You know, taller than Adam. Huh? So he threw that rib away, took another rib, pop! Ah! This one is same height as Adam. Nah, that cannot be. No good. So threw that away. Right? And then he broke another one. Whoops! It's too short. No, should be a drop. Threw it away. And he turned it to the fourth one. He break it carefully. Ooh, that's good. Just a little shorter than Adam. You know, that's the thing about it. People just have imagination. There's a real reason. No, it's not. The side, the rib means the side. Sometimes when you have pain on the side, you say, oh, my side is painful. Maybe actually it's the rib problem. You say, my side is painful. So we took it from the side. Alright, so that's why. And when Adam went to deep sleep, Jesus Christ went to a deep sleep at Calvary. Body was taken and buried in the tomb. Right. But when he was at Calvary, he went into a deep sleep and he says, Father, into the hand I commend my spirit. And then he said, it is finished. Then he died. He went to a deep sleep. And the soldier looked at him and took the spear and speared him. And what happened? What came out? Blood and water. That's called 1 John 5, 78. Well-known verse. Blood and water came forth. 1 John 5, 7-8. Alright. So I wanted to read the way we also read, and I think you all should know where the verse had additional word which should not be in the original. 1 John 5, 7-8. For there are three that bear record. Stop there. That's verse 7. Then go to verse 8. It continues with the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's the original tense. In between all those words are not. Okay, y'all got it. Alright. For there are three the bar records. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agrees in one. What came forth from the sight? The water. And then the blood. Because the Spirit is already gone, Jesus Christ, give up the Spirit. Into the hand, Father, come in my Spirit. So, the water and the blood, they flow from the Son of Jesus Christ, produce you and me. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are crucified with Him. And the water is the word of life. But the water, that is the word. This word that we have. If the Spirit of God doesn't pour forth on it, then there's no life. People can read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible. But the Spirit of God doesn't hit you. Because if you don't have the spoken word, you don't have ear to hear, the Spirit doesn't come upon you, then the word is not quickened. Alright then. Last two verses, last two passages, that's it. We read it. Galatians chapter 3. Just to close, to read these two verses. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as are has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Again, as Paul. It's always about putting on Christ. It's about Christ in us. It's about crucifying Him, live with Him, die with Him, live with Him, and so on. We cannot forget this thing. But sometimes we do, because by our action, because we're living in this world, and we don't remember to walk right. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the last verse. For if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelt in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelt in you. See? You got it? If the Spirit of Christ that raised up, if the Spirit of God, of Him, that is, that raised up Christ from the dead dwelt in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Now, that one may ask to understand. This body is not quickened yet. Right? We are still in this body. It's just like a seed. When the water is poured in it, it gets the air, it gets the sunshine. You know, it starts to grow up. As you grow up, there's root that comes out. The thing is that that little plant, what we call that shoot that comes out. Is it called a shoot? That little thing that comes out. Sprout. Okay, whatever you call that tiny word. But do you know that that seed, the whole thing is food to the little thing. That's what you eat first. That's what the neutron of the seed goes into that, because it gets the water. It goes up and the roots start to grow down. It takes a while before collidon. Yeah, start to wither away because all this nutrient has gone into it. Then that thing begins to grow. The same thing. We are still growing. Is it? This is still a cotyledon. You know, it is still covering us. And we get the sunshine, we get the life and all these things. But people believe that when you are born again, your body are quickened. No, the body is not quickened. What did the Bible here say? Let's just read it. I mean, it's so here. For if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, and He that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Your mortal body will be quickened only the day of the resurrection. And that's why people think that, wow, you already quickened this mortal body. If this body is quickened already, it shouldn't die. We shouldn't feel pain. Isn't that true? You see. Even Christ, when He came, He lived all His life. And He feel pain. Is that right? He felt, when He's hungry, He feels hunger. He felt the heat. When He thirsts, He asked for water. Yeah. But when He died, the reason why the natural, what is What is natural is natural. What is spiritual is spiritual. What is earthly is earthly. So when the heavenly comes upon this body and resurrection, then there's a change. That's why Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, what kind of body was that? It's a body that was completely changed by the power of the Father. And that's why crucifixion died to this body. Died to sin. Died to this uncircumcised flesh. Died with Christ. And if we die with him, we're going to raise with him. That's right. We're going to resurrect with him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the words that thou have caused the Apostle Paul, you know, to put it down on paper. And there's so many words that you have caused him to write that we have read it so often. But many times, Lord, we tend to forget. As all this word that mentioned in the scripture, that you have quickened us, and we die with Christ, and we're supposed to live as we ought to live in the newness of life. And if we are truly baptized in death with Christ, then therefore, Lord, we shall live that new life, and one of these days you will quicken this mortal body and we will rise to a new body. Lord, we thank you for all this word to keep on reminding us, Lord. And I pray while this condition of war is on and in this journey here, Lord, let us not be like the children of disobedience. You know, that the devil out here is causing them to do things, and we know that the devil is also causing everyone, whether Christian or not, to do and to cause the Christian to do the same thing as well, as much as he could. And we ask the Lord, you give strength to every one of us, Lord. Give us strength, quicken us, O Father, that our spiritual man will grow strong in this journey that we are still on, Father, until we reach that city on the hill. Until that city, when we reach, we find it is no longer just Jerusalem, but the holy new Jerusalem on Mount Zion to become reality, Father. We thank you for the word then today and ask that you bless now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.